The following podcast is brought to you by ART Studios and the El Paso Community College Department of Art, El Paso, Texas.
Welcome to ART Studios. In this series of podcasts titled Exhibitionist Scholarship, we visit with the Spring 2021 Student Art Show Award winners. We discover how student artists and architects approach their art, what inspires them, and we learn how they are preparing for a creative future.
Hello everyone, I am Davinia Mirabal and I am the coordinator for this year's Student Art Show. We are here with Norwin Santiago Fernandez because he was one of the winners for the Student Art Show. And we would like to know a little bit more about him. So, Norwin, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
So let's start by you telling us a little bit about yourself.
Okay. Well, I'm currently 21 years old. I was living in El Paso for 3 years. I came to El Paso after Hurricane Maria destroyed my home in Puerto Rico. And a lot about myself has to do basically with my education and art. A lot of my hobbies are basically me just drawing or painting. I do also run and play video games. That's a given for anyone this age. My other hobbies are scrapbooking. I do enjoy like collecting photos and putting them in albums and stuff like that.
And do you create the stories with the scrapbooking or just is like the collection of the photographs?
I create pages. I mostly like decorate them like a journal-esque thing. I also sometimes add drawings to them, kind of like a traveling journal, you know, writing them sometimes and stuff like that. I haven't been able much recently to moving. Since a lot of the things I use are either packed or the things I have are very limited. So basically all I have been doing since the semester ended has been just sketching and, you know, using the materials that were necessary for the class. That's all I really have. But as an artist, I use a bit of everything and I try to learn a bit of everything, you know, sculpting, drawing, painting, basically everything I can.
But, and you know, this moving from here to Florida, I guess it's going to really give you more experiences and more things to process and think about and put on your journaling and on your scrapbooking and in your art itself.
Yes, there's certainly been a few things I could say that I could use for paintings. I've had a very few weird experiences over here in Florida, let me tell you.
Already with the crocodiles and caimans chasing you around?
No, but I have tasted crocodile jerky.
Oh, really? Oh, my God. That will be interesting.
Yeah, there's a lot of food here, like a lot of agricultural food. There's an abundance over here when you're driving a lot, since that's the main way. I came here through airplane, but then I had to like drive to where I am right now in Largo, since I was originally stationed in Jacksonville. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I've had a chance to see a lot. There's a lot of life. It's a big difference from El Paso. There's a lot of trees. There's water. There's water. There's animals. Like they're different animals. Like, there's a Walmart that has a pond full of geese.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so there's a lot to see.
The experiences will be different.
Yes.
Oh, that is nice. So you ended up in El Paso because of a disaster in Puerto Rico, right?
Yes.
Why did you decide to go to EPCC and how many classes were you taking in the art field?
EPCC, the reason I took it was, well, to tell you the truth, I took it because it was the cheapest and it was the thing that most people advised me to do in terms of education, because I came here, I came to El Paso 3 years ago, and the state I was in, Puerto Rico had no classes. It had no water, no electricity, so classes were completely down for an entire year, two years technically. So I had a lot of catch up, plus a lot of the credits were different from, not that different since, you know, Puerto Rico and the United States, their territories. So there were a few things I had to catch up since I was 1 year behind. I needed to graduate because they wanted me to stay one more year. And by the time I would have graduated, I would have been 20. I really pushed myself in order to graduate as soon as possible, both as a stance to gain better financial standpoints, as well as basically my own self-image. Like, oh my God, this guy graduated from high school at age 20. Like, no one's going to ask you, oh, I wonder why. They're going to say, oh, he's probably stupid. I also just wanted to get out of the high school I was in. It was not the best place. Mm-hmm. I had to work really hard. Like, for those 2 years I was there, I didn't get to experience high school. I was just studying nonstop. I had to take like extra courses, and the way they make you take it make you feel like, did I do something wrong? Am I being punished? Because you were there weekends, the whole week, just sitting in a laptop taking basic classes, but they didn't provide for you. Like, you were there like the whole week, all of the afternoon, like for 2 hours, and they didn't provide you with either water or...
Well, that doesn't sound like a fun experience.
It was not. And it was just a very uncomfortable experience overall, because there was also some prejudice overall. Some teachers were flat out prejudiced. Others greeted me well. Others helped me a lot. I can't say that I didn't get help, but overall it was not a good experience. And I just wanted to basically jump into another point in my life, you know, like progress. Mm-hmm. And EPCC just seemed like the most affordable and accessible at the time.
I hope that here in El Paso with the people at EPCC, you felt more comfortable, and, you know, like that they were really trying to help you advance and keep going and, you know, finding a niche for yourself, right?
Hopefully. Yeah, most did. Most did. There are some that just teach as a job. There are some that you could tell that I've only had like two professors that I took classes with that they just teach because, you know, it's their job. Mm-hmm. But the majority of professors that I have been very good to me and understandable.
Right. So what art classes are you taking?
This semester I took drawing 2, but I've also already taken design 1. I've taken art history 1 and 2 and drawing 1. And those are basically the ones I've already taken. The rest are mandatory courses that I've taken.
How did you decide to start taking art classes?
When I was little, I used to move a lot to place to place. I didn't have a lot of interactions or a lot of social skills with people. Mm-hmm. And it was also just something that I always did and always fascinated me. Like when I was a kid, I would just be drawing. There was never the aspect of, oh, I'm going to sell this. I just wanted to learn arts. Like, I always wanted to paint and get better. Uh-huh. That was always the primary thing. It was later when I got to high school that I was like, oh, what am I going to do? And, you know, there's a lot of pressure to see as an artist, what am I going to do financially as a person and as an artist? So I decided, I was looking around, I talked with people, and I decided to become an art teacher because it was simply something that could sustain me financially while also continue to learn art and teach as well, since I enjoy talking about art in general, like different theories, art forms, how we get to where we are. Mm-hmm. It's something that I personally enjoy.
And, you know, like most artists have to do the side job. So you are in the right track. And especially if you like it, that's definitely a plus. Your students are going to notice how passionate you are about your job and what you're talking about. And they may have the same, you know, the same passion growing on their hearts too. So like, thanks to you, you know, when you become a teacher. So it's a really nice path to follow. I know that some people said that the ones that cannot do teach, but no, it's not really true. I mean, you can do it really well in both. So, you know, I hope you get to experience that.
Yes, I'm trying to get there. I'm getting there slowly, you know.
But you will. I'm sure you will. Narwin, how did you hear about the student show?
The show itself was introduced to us as a class as a whole by Professor Moreau, as well as by the art club. They also showed flyers for it. So it was very, like, it was all over the place at the time. And while I was taking this semester's art class, so it was presented to us and we were advised to, like, hey, you know what, you should take it. He also said, like, you know what, I might even extra credit and it's also just fun. So that's the way I heard about it. It was basically just postered everywhere. And I was like, you know what, why not? I'm not doing anything extra credit and I might win something. I was never actually aware there was a prize until last minute. Like, I think he told us there was a prize, but I forgot.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you did it because you want it. And congratulations because you won third place in the two-dimensional category with one of your drawings, right? That it's called Social Issue. So actually, you know, let's talk about it a little bit. Like, what is Social Issue about?
Social Issue. It was originally, the drawing itself was done as part of the class with Professor Merle. And it was basically the idea we were told to draw something regarding to social issues. And that was the main thing that I was looking for. It was, there's so many issues right now. How could I present the ones that I want? Or how could I present as many as possible in the middlest of ways while also just playing around with it? And one thing that came to mind was the human figure. During the class, we were talking a lot about expression and movement. And, you know, I found that the human body can say so much by just standing still or giving an expression. So that's where a lot of the idea came from. Like, I found these three blank figures that were just online. They were posing, they had nothing on, they had no real features. And I was like, that could be anyone. And that's a lot of where the idea of social issue came from. Like, this is anyone and everyone. And that carried on since the drawing itself is supposed to show everyone's reaction to social issues, mainly the ones to climate change, racism, political instability, social racism, and basically issues that we ignore at current times and leave for a further generation. But as we ignore them, they just continue to grow and grow until we pretend it's not there, but it is. One of the main ones was actually climate change. Like, there are people that still protest that climate change isn't real. Its effects are fake, you know? It's like, really? And it's basically this action of doing nothing while problems continue to arise. And that's basically the idea of the drawing. Basically portraying a lot of people's action of do nothing, either ignoring the problem or exaggerating it, or knowing about the problem and not doing anything about it while profiting off it and just letting it grow.
Wow. And then that's how you decided to use the figures in that position?
Yes, I mostly use the figure as they were, but I noticed, like, there's so much you could use them for. They're moving against everything. Like, when the way the figures are positioned, mainly two of them, they're curled up and the other is repulsed or looking away at the main issue while the other one is standing above them with a smiling mask while taking advantage of that.
Well, it's definitely very interesting how you use the human figure to express all of this. I have seen work of other artists that, you know, reflect exactly what, like, nature is doing, or, you know, how people react to other people, but really nothing like yours, like the figures kind of standing still and reacting and being against other figures. So it's really an interesting approach what you have taken to express all of these social issues, because it's not just one, is several kind of put together. It's definitely a very nice approach to it.
That's actually also why I went with less features with the figures.
Uh-huh.
Since anyone can project any issue to it. So it's very free. Like, there is meaning behind it, but it's very free to interpretation.
So what you are telling us about the piece, does it match a little with the commentary that the juror left for you?
I was never able to see much of the commentary.
Oh, okay. Let me read it to you. The juror commentary says, an excellent leap into surrealism. The interruption of the negative space with textures on featureless faces is intriguing. The peacock playing from the clock pulled the eye deeper into the work to gain meaning. Absolutely excellent use of movement in the figures against the stillness of the room. The clock melting provides another luscious layer.
Yes, that was something I wanted to move up to continue talk about, was the features I added to the room. I really played a lot with it since we were, originally I was just going to use the figures alone, but for class we had to actually sketch further ideas.
Mm-hmm.
And as I did so, I continued to think about other ways I could represent the same idea of ignoring a social the issues that we currently were fighting against, or issues that may or may not be taken seriously.
Mm-hmm.
So the way I did that was by adding the figures into a room and basically just adding furniture that would represent the same thing, because a lot of the clock itself is behind another clock. Like, it's supposed to represent the flow of time being ignored.
I can see that you have a little bit of landscape at the base of the clock. So I guess that goes with the environment.
Yeah, basically one is supposed to be, the real clock is behind a fake clock, which is melting.
Mm-hmm.
The reason that it's basically just supposed to represent how issues are being ignored. And we are saying like, oh, we have time to fix things. The next generation has time. We have time. But in reality, we don't know that. Like, we don't know when we're going to die. We don't know what's going to happen. We don't know if there is time to act or if there will be time to mend it.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of the idea behind a lot of commercial human actions or anything that we do, it's the idea that time will fix everything, which may be true, but to an extent, like the decay of plastic is estimated to take thousands of years, and other problems like the ozone layer, the ozone hole, and global warming itself is a problem that has been known for quite some time, but it was never presented as an issue until later on. It was either laughed about or pretended to be that it was going to fix itself. Even right now, there's a lot of talk about it fixing itself, which may or may not be true. But it's basically the pretending that there is time to act when we are leaving things to rot.
Yeah, that is actually very profound.
Yeah, I hope that makes sense.
Yeah, no, it does.
As for the peacock, I actually added it. I wanted to add more, like an animal. I wanted to add a lot of animals to it originally, but I felt like I ran out of time, and I also felt like it would have been too cluttered. So the peacock, I actually added it as a way to symbolize vanity, since peacocks are often associated with vanity.
Yeah.
And it's basically how the fake clock is being decorated. It's the clock everyone wants to believe in. It's the prettier one.
Yes, uh-huh. Yeah, and so, we don't want to really see the issues underneath and the reality of what is happening. We want to live in a pretty world and not really bother with whatever is it's happening and what it's real.
Another reason I picked the peacock is because of a term called the way of the peacock, which is an idea of how, as a society, we seek for the ideal image of society, which nowadays is a well-paying job, family, children, cars, material. And it's a way that is supposed to give you satisfaction, but in reality, it doesn't. It's all just stuff. And it's something that I see, I've personally witnessed a lot of people in the United States, live with. They live for material. Like, you see a lot of people working just to get something. There's this focus on brand. There's this focus on, oh, I have the new Nike shoes, but they're completely white and the only feature they have is a logo. I have this super cool polo. It has absolutely no features. It just has a brand on it.
Mm-hmm.
It's this idea that materials will fill up our lives, that it will give us emotion, that it will give us status, but it really doesn't. Like, there's this focus on just living the good life, but a lot of people don't really know what that is. There is no set way of living. So it's basically just to represent that we want to continue living comfortably. We want to buy more things. We want to live branded. And a lot of issues are both personal ones, but also affect the environment. Where do you think all this cloth comes from? Where do you think all that rubber comes from? All this material for cars, for everything.
Mm-hmm. And who made them, right?
Yep. There's another issue there.
Mm-hmm.
Who makes it? Like, the people that make it, there's a lot of material goods comes either from China, from child workers, from slaves, from other places like that. But you see, the US is firmly against it, but people buy it. We continue to support it. We're comfortable with it as long as it's us.
Well, your piece is definitely profound. And it does reflect, you know, a lot of the things that you are mentioning. It's really nice to see someone as young as you are, you know, like, really thinking seriously about all of this, and not just being superficial with, you know, like, with buying brands and, you know, just being comfortable in your life, but really thinking about what everything is and what's the reality of it. It's nice. It's, you know, fresh air, your thoughts about all of this. Again, especially because of how young you are, but you have had, like, serious experiences with this kind of thing. So I really appreciate that you are sharing that with us, that you are making us see things as they are and trying to open our eyes and trying to make us take action and try to fix what is wrong with society and with the world in general. So it's really humbling. So thank you for that.
The main issue with a lot of artwork nowadays is that there is not a lot of branching out culturally in the United States. A lot of the young nowadays are very closed off, especially with right now, with everything that's happened with the pandemic, we're even closer off. I'm in Florida and things are different, and that's fine. Things are always going to be different place to place, but we're in the same country. So it's weird that a lot of issues are not known. Like, when I was studying in school, a kid came up to me and said, "Where's Puerto Rico?" And one of them asked me, "Did you come in car? Where in the Middle East is that?" There's a very serious disconnection with the youth nowadays. It's not mandatory for them to know, but there's a lack of focus of life outside themselves and the United States.
Yeah, and I also think that the school system is, in certain way, a little bit responsible about
it. I do believe so as well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It just needs to be more factual and, you know, like really show the basics.
I also believe it just needs to focus on actually educating them. Is this rush for them to graduate and just get out there in life, but a lot of them are not prepared, do not have either the resources or knowledge to do so. And there's very little interest in them to actually learn anything. It's just, oh, you finish your test, there you go. There needs to be a more focus on actually educating the young, because they are the ones that inherit the world and our issues.
Well, Narwin, it's been a pleasure. I was expecting to talk a little bit more, you know, like about the show, your experience with it. But, you know, like the explanation that you're giving us about your piece, it's been so, again, profound and interesting and like real that talking about the art show seems a little bit superficial now.
Well, I hope not, because it was fun. I wasn't able to attend it myself because of time differences. Like I lost track of time. And I wasn't able to be there presently, but I did see the after show. Like I saw the other art pieces, and it's not that, I wouldn't say it's superficial, because it gives us a way to present ourselves. And it's also for the students. It's for young people, especially during everything that's happening. It's something that I believe many of them needed to just communicate, show off their work. And it's a lot to do with comfort. You know, they're branching out. They're showing us things. So I think that's very important. So I wouldn't say the show is superficial.
Oh, well, it was very enjoyable. It was just, you know, like just that I was going to ask you, like, how did you feel when you won your award? Was this your first time participating in the show?
Well, I can tell you I was happy to win. I can tell you that. Like, I thought like, oh, I don't see, like, I was around last to be mentioned. I was like, oh, I lost, I guess. But then they said third place and I was like, oh, I won. But, you know, there is some bout of happiness to win. But as for one of the questions you said was advice for those entering or doing any art.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say the same thing my professor told me would be to enter without expecting anything. Like, don't get me wrong. You want to win and you need to give that effort to win. But in a world where everything, when art is so subjective, you know, it's very, everyone sees things differently. So what you may produce may be different for another, may not always succeed in that way. You just have to keep going. You have to keep trying. There are those that keep trying and may never succeed. That's a possibility that's there, but you just have to present yourself. If this is what you want, you have to try and be there.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, it's also a way to experience and create new things. Every person experiences things so differently that if we create it and present it, you never know what may happen. Like a lot of art movements were done just because people thought it was pretty. People liked it. It was a good statement. Yeah. You never know what piece might do that the next generation. You never know where you are and here from now. So it's very important for them to just keep trying. Continue doing what you like, because that's what you like. Life is so, so short, and it can take so many turns that you never know where you are. Well, I don't know where I am right now. I'm basically in an apartment in Largo. I don't know why I'm here for right now. You know, I'm still studying and stuff, but that's an example. Like, you never know where your life is going to take you. Take risk, have fun. You're young. Even if you're young or old, you're going to die at one point. So why not have fun with it?
Yeah, and use what you know in your art and show it to everybody else. And yeah. I think that that's also the point of the art show, for everybody to see what's happening with others, what they are thinking, what their experience have been, and inspire you to keep going and to keep producing.
Plus, it also helps you compare. Like, you can compare your art to another, like, oh, I really like what he did there. I really like how she presents herself. Like, you learn from others.
Mm-hmm.
Something that I also learned this semester was that artists don't progress by doing things themselves. we're affected by the world around us. So seeing other artists is very important because you could learn from, you can make connections, you can even make friends and improve yourself and your art.
Yeah, totally agree. In my career, I have always missed the critiques that we used to have at school. Now as a professional, we don't really have that as much. And I really missed it. It's the part where I learned the most, right? And again, like you're saying, from others, from what they're doing, how they're doing it, what are the ideas, and how that compares or contrasts with what I'm thinking and what I'm doing, and how I can use that to improve my own work. Yeah, definitely. You know, like everything that you're saying is, you know, very solid. So again, I'm very impressed, Narwin. You are very young to think this way. Usually I know people that are in their 40s and they are still in La La Land, right? So I'm telling you, it's, you know, just a breath of fresh air to hear what you have to say. So I really appreciate it. I'm really thankful that you decided to participate in our interviews. And if you don't have anything else to share with us, I'm just going to, you know, wish you the best in your new situation. Enjoy your experiences, you know, live your life as full as you can, just like you were saying, you know, take risks, enjoy, have fun, make art, and live that life that you still have ahead.
So that's very important.
Yes.
Believe.
Yeah. So thank you so much, Narwin, for the time that you have spent with us. And it will be really nice to, you know, hear from you maybe later on, now with your experiences in Florida, and see how things have changed and how your art may change from this new place and these new people. So,
well, thank you yourself for your time as well, and thank you for having me.
It was definitely our pleasure. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you as well.